Well, welcome to today's podcast. I'm Brad Harbison, one of the editors with PCT Magazine, and my guests today are Carrie Cottone and Mark Janowicki, entomologists with the City of New Orleans Mosquito, Termite, and Rodent Control Board. And in our podcast today, we're going to get an update from Carrie and Mark about Formosan termite activity in New Orleans's French Quarter and surrounding areas. So thank you both for joining me today.
Oh, thank you for having us.
So the first question to begin with, either Carrie or Mark, feel free to jump in. But, you know, I was reading about, according to the LSU Ag Center, Formosan termites have spread to 42 of Louisiana's 64 parishes. Can you explain why Formosan termites have spread so rapidly and displaced some of the native termites in Louisiana?
Well, yeah, so termites on their own are not good flyers. They're pretty weak flyers. When you see them flying around, they're kind of fluttery. So they're not able to fly that distance all on their own. They'll be spreading slowly over time on their own, but it's really through human transport. So people are moving these termites all over. When you have a potted plant somewhere and you pick it up and move it, or you're selling a bag of mulch that might be infested, or moving railroad ties, all these different wood resources that are moved around very quickly spread this termite. So it's not surprising that it's moving. We're actually trying to document more parishes. So we're really searching on those northern parishes and here in Louisiana to see if we can find it there, because where people go, the termite will too. So,
yeah. And Carrie, I know you've been with the board for a long time and have really been tracking the Formosan termites for a number of years now. Mm-hmm. Can you remind PCT's listeners about this operation Full Stop? When and why was it created?
Okay. So when talking about Operation Full Stop, and which was in full swing when I first started here, that was, 2005 is when I started here. My goodness. We kind of have to go all the way back to the beginning of the story of the Formosan termite, right? So World War II has ended, just ended. And everybody's coming back after the war, and they're bringing a bunch of stuff with them. Right? So they're introduced from Southeast China, stop over in Hawaii, they're introduced there. So this is all through infested crates and pallets and really just bringing everything back. New Orleans, being the wonderful port city that it is, they're introduced here to Louisiana, but they're not recognized, they're not properly identified for at least 20 years. At least here in Louisiana. So, that's a couple decades of them just really being in an area, allowed to reproduce, get distributed, really become established in a subtropical environment, which they just thrive in. So, New Orleans, it is hot here. It is humid here. These are subtropical termites and they love it here. We have a lot of wood construction. Even when buildings are taken down and new buildings are put back up, a lot of that wood gets buried in the soil as well. So we really have the perfect environment for termites. So the termite pressure just grew and grew and grew. From the time that they were identified, okay, we know they're here. And we have all of these beautiful, historic, iconic buildings in the French Quarter that are just getting eaten up. We have iconic historical oaks that are named trees. They've been here for hundreds of years. You can't replace those. And yet termites are infesting them. So Operation Full Stop was really a way, was put in place to protect all of these historic properties in a very tourist rich area that the city heavily relies on. And this was a federally funded project that brought together a lot of different cooperators. So it wasn't just us, it was LSU, it was USDA, it was private pest control companies, homeowners were involved, other universities were involved. We had University of Florida, University of Hawaii. So all these different folks working together for the common goal of reducing termite pressure in the French Quarter. And then from there, it involved so many different things. It involved area-wide termite control using baits. You know, some property owners opted to use liquid termiticides, but there were building inspections and tree inspections and treatments. And we were monitoring the termite swarmers in a very strategic way. So it was a very large project that went from 1998 to 2012.
And then, Carrie, you mentioned some of those cooperating groups that you worked with. Mm-hmm. We're obviously, our magazine, you know, the vast majority of our readers are pest control owners, operators. I was just mm-hmm. curious if you could share a little bit about, you know, how pest control companies worked cooperatively with NOMTCB and some of the other groups as part of this program.
Well, since I've been here on board, you know, private pest control companies are so great to work with. I mean, you have a lot of experience there, a lot of years of experience, more years than I have in many of these companies. So it's really just a learning and sharing of information back and forth. And, you know, that really overall just helps our industry. You know, I go and talk to pest control companies all the time. We have, you know, some outreach and extension events where we bring in techs from different pest control companies. And it's just, I learn from them as much as they learn from us, I think.
No doubt.
Because they have that institutional, they are the boots on the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. I know the industry has a great working relationship with your board. And mm-hmm. Harry, can you talk again about the Operation Full Stop? Mm-hmm. How has the program succeeded in controlling termites in the French Quarter and protecting structures?
Okay, so by the time Full Stop had ended, there were several things that we observed happening in the French Quarter by the time it ended. So for example, the bait stations that were being monitored, the in-ground bait stations, we saw activity there reduced by over 95%. Okay, that's amazing. The swarming termites that we were monitoring using glue boards by lampposts, we saw those reduced by about half. Okay, so we did see some little isolated pockets of termite infestations when doing building inspections, things like that. But in areas where termite pressure is pretty high, you almost kind of expect that with the species. You know, it's a very cryptic species. They like to stay hidden and they know how to hide, right? But overall, that termite pressure was reduced through the use of baits and eliminating those termite colonies.
And then, Carrie, like you mentioned, in 2012, the program ended. Mm-hmm. So I'm just kind of curious, you know, how has the board's work changed in terms of monitoring and working with homeowners and business owners who continue to protect their homes, even though the program's ended?
Right. So that program ended. Well, we knew it was coming in 2012 because we heard in 2011 that, okay, they're going to stop all of this earmark funding. You know, it was part of an earmark. And we thought, oh my gosh, what is going to happen? Like our biggest fear was that nobody would want to continue using termite control products. Nobody would want to spend the money on private pest control companies because it was really at that point, it's like, okay, we've been able to help you out so far, but now, you know, you're gonna have to get a contract with a private pest control company. And then you never know how people are going to react when you say, okay, well, here's something for free. It's federally funded for this long, and now you're going to have to pay for it. So our biggest fear really was that termite pressure was just going to skyrocket. But we haven't really seen that. You know, we just, I guess it was last year, you know, just walking through the French Quarter and trying to determine which properties still had bait around them or not. Still about half of the buildings in the French Quarter still have bait products around their properties, which is fantastic. Like people really took that seriously. It made property owners really aware of what termites can do And they want to protect their properties as much as anybody, right? That's their investment. We want to protect it because of the historic value to it, and the tourist value to it. But really, people did take it seriously. And I'm thrilled to see that even this far out, that folks still have termite contracts on their properties out there.
Yeah. And you kind of alluded to it a little bit, but can you talk about termite activity since the program ended, though? Compared to maybe what you had anticipated, has it shot up like you thought, or is it, how has it kind of been since 2012?
So since, you know, private pest control companies are kind of handling these properties, we've still been using the metric of looking at the termite alates, the swarmers, and we still monitor for those every year. Maybe not in the capacity that we were able to during Operation Full Stop, but we still wanted to have some kind of finger on that pulse to see what was going on. Even though manpower was reduced, funding was reduced, we still wanted to do something. So at this point, I'm going to let Mark talk about the alates in the French Quarter, because he's really had a pretty heavy hand in this.
Yeah, so we've kept up the surveillance, just like she said, because it was something we could afford to still do. So it was, you know, we couldn't afford to continue with all the work that was in Operation Full Stop, but we could keep these sticky traps going to see how it was going. And when we look at it, if in 2015, 2016, there were about 200 or 100 to 200 alates per board that we were pulling out over the course of the whole year in total. And then just last year, there were only an average of about 37 termites per board over the course of the whole year. So it's really dropped down. The reasons behind that, we don't really know. We would like to say that, you know, the control is still working well in that area. This could just be kind of a natural occurrence as well. But we've seen kind of a decrease in these numbers of alates year after year, at least looking at the last, you know, 8 or 10 years in that time since.
And then just kind of just this current year, I understand that Mother's Day is sort of the target date when you start to really see the swarming, and all of a sudden we're seeing a lot of news reports out there. How has the swarming been like this year, maybe compared to years past?
It seemed pretty heavy. I mean, it seems to be, it's just kind of the start, so it's hard to really know. We'll see those kind of numbers at the end of the season once we analyze, but we've had a few really good swarms. Even last night there were some swarmers out, but yeah, we're really coming into that peak season here. Mid-May is when we see the most starts. We had an early one kind of end of April that was really a good sized swarm, and it'll go through maybe the 4th of July, but we're in that peak time now, so we'll be able to look back soon and see, you know, is this year picking up or is it still continuing?
Yeah. And then Mark, can you talk a little bit about the work that you've been doing to trace the genetic history of alates that have been caught on these sticky traps? And what have you learned from this research?
Right. So this project came about, so we were contracted to do pest control or termite control for the Jackson Barracks, which is the headquarters of the National Guard, the Louisiana National Guard here in New Orleans. So it's a little bit east of the French Quarter, further down the river. And so when we did this, because we were able to set up this full area-wide control and have all the buildings in the area treated, we wanted to do the same thing and see if, you know, are we decreasing the swarmers? So we set up these same sticky traps that have been used for Operation Full Stop around the Jackson Barracks and analyzed, and we didn't see a decline. So we were expecting, as it was seen in Operation Full Stop, you know, about a 50% reduction in the first couple of years, and that didn't happen. We were having good control of the houses. We weren't having termite issues. We weren't having very many active stations in the ground, but we were still having this big influx of swarmers. So we really started this project doing the genetic analysis to try to compare the two sites and see if maybe there's something going on that can explain that. So what we did in the last couple of years, we've been pulling the termites off the glue board. So we take the glue board back to the lab, we pick them off one at a time, and then we can smash them and get their DNA out to run these genetic analyses. And so in the analysis, we can take 20 individuals from a card and figure out how many colonies contributed to those 20 individuals. So we can track back and see, are they all siblings from a single colony, or are they, you know, unique individuals from 20 colonies? And so when we did this, just kind of some preliminary data from the 2021 season, there we had In the Jackson Barracks, we had about 14 colonies contributing to each of those glue boards. So we had a lot of colonies contributing there. In the French Quarter, on average, we had about 7 colonies contributing to each glue board. So in this way, we were able to see that those large numbers are fueled by a large number of colonies. So it's not just one single colony that maybe was missing in the very middle of the Jackson Barracks that's throwing out thousands and thousands of alates. This is actually, you know, a lot of colonies. And this makes sense. The Jackson Barracks is a long, skinny area of land. And so there's a lot of neighbors, a lot of area around it that probably don't have termite control. So they're probably flying in from adjacent areas is the conclusion that we're coming to with this data. But with this, we were able to really compare and see, you know, if the control is working, why are we still getting these alates? And it's likely from these colonies outside the area.
And were those research findings surprising to you?
I was surprised, especially the first time. One of the first sticky cards I looked at only had 4 colonies on it. So the 7 in the French Quarter is on average, but one of them only had 4 colonies. So of all these alates that we picked off the glue board, there was only 4 colonies there. So there's just a few of them colonies around in different areas, or a few that are able to fly in from adjacent areas in the French Quarter. But I would have expected a lot more. You see, you know, there's a lot of colonies in an area and they're all going to be kind of swept up by the wind and in an area. But seeing that was a little bit fewer than I expected.
Yeah. Mark and Carrie, if you want to jump in, you can as well. But was just curious, you know, how can this research be useful for any future control projects that either the board or university or some of these other folks might be interested in undertaking?
Yeah, so I think, I mean, it's important to really understand how this area-wide control works. So area-wide control is great. It's able to, you know, instead of just putting a barrier up around your house, you can make a whole termite dead zone and have this area that's devoid of termites. But you need to understand what's happening in that area. So if you're doing this control method, perhaps in the French Quarter, you have just a few of these big mature colonies that are able to, you know, still be in the adjacent areas or around there. You don't have as many little ones popping up. Whereas this in the Jackson Barracks was a more recent introduction of these baits. So maybe there's a different dynamic going on. So I think it's really important to understand that these termites are foraging over large areas. These colonies are competing with each other. And what happens when we start baiting them out of there? Do new ones move in? Do you have 10 colonies replacing one big old colony? Or, you know, what's the dynamics that happen after this baiting occurs? So really being able to track and follow up in an area would be a really useful tool to really get those demographics.
Yeah, and in fact, kind of what Mark was talking about, we have two very different, unique situations here in the French Quarter where like half of the properties have baits around them. You know, is that still considered area-wide? We don't know yet really how to answer that. Some people would say no, because some properties might be using other methods of control. Some properties might have no termite control with them. But it's like, we know exactly where the baits are at the barracks. And so over time, being able to look at those different dynamics to really see how some of these termite colonies will be popping up, because yeah, places like here, you will have those hidden colonies. You bait one out and you will see activity following, because remember, termites don't just go linear in a two-dimensional underground. They are in 3 dimensions. They can go up, down, side to side.
And then Mark, can you talk about your kind of future research? Where does this project go next? Or are you on to the next project? Can you talk about, you know, future research you're working on?
Yeah, so the data that I talked about with the averages there was just from the first year. So we have the next year samples in the freezer. We have more. What we really want to understand is kind of how far apart they can also go. So looking at, you know, the different sticky cards in different areas, how far is a single colony able to kind of contribute to these different stations? So this was kind of just a snapshot of looking at the biggest day of the year, the biggest swarm, how many termites are in that swarm. But I really want to understand a little bit more about how these colonies are swarming. And, you know, is a single colony swarming the entire season? Do they really swarm just in a single night? You know, we can track them throughout time and throughout space in those French Quarter samples. We have a lot of samples in the freezer to get to, to get the kind of the full story of that.
Yeah. And then I know you both have worked with termites for a number of years now. So I just kind of had a general question for you, and that is about you know, what type of research would you both like to see be undertaken on termites to better understand this pest in the future?
I think a huge one right now, and we kind of talked about that, you know, at the beginning, is looking at their current distribution. You know, we haven't had the ability to really look at that for several years. And us as people, the communal, we are so good at, you know, helping these things along, you know, to go into new parishes and counties. And, you know, I'd love to see how far north they've gotten. You know, I know Mark is going to have some boots on the ground actively looking for them in northern Louisiana later on this month. But, you know, you might have listeners in that area too. And if they know of an infestation, they can always reach out to us as well. So feel free to put our you know, email bugshop@nola.gov. That's a good way to reach us.
And as that goes, I think something that's really interesting, when I came to here, because I was so used to working with our native subterranean termites, I was shocked to see that they've been so displaced out of the city. So I would be really curious to see that process in action and how far will that go? You know, if we have so many Formosans in the city, they've displaced the reticula termites that are here. Is that going to continue to spread, you know, with the urban spread or in different areas? And it would be really interesting to see directly how are they competing? You know, how is the Formosan able to so well outcompete the native species that it's not existent in the city anymore, basically? Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to find those native termites.
Yeah. And then the last question I had for you, we talked about Operation Full Stop, mm-hmm. the success that program had, and then it ended. So I guess the final question I had for you both was, you know, what would you like to see being done in the future to protect New Orleans and surrounding areas from Formosan termites?
Ooh. Honestly, I think that this is not just applicable to New Orleans. This can be coast to coast, nationwide. If we could get contractors, construction folks talking to pest control companies before buildings are built. That is, you know, such a hard barrier, such a hard hurdle to get over. You know, but there are areas of this country and in other countries that are just shocked that we build things out of wood, you know? So it's things like that. I would love to see in the future those conversations happening. Because then you bring in construction practices like, okay, how do we use things like spray foam insulation in a way that's not going to impede, you know, pest management professionals? How can we, you know, have a house raised on wooden piers that are treated, but, you know, can we make it in a way that's going to make it easier for termite inspectors? So, yeah. You know, one group of folks talking with the other group of folks to just make some more mindful decisions in the construction industry. And I think that could apply across the country.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great points. Those are conversations that probably are not happening as much as they need
to. No, they don't. They don't happen. But, you know, even if commercial properties are being built and there is, say, a loading dock, you know, let's have a conversation about those roll-up garage doors, mm-hmm. And talk about rodent control. You know, conversations like that would be fantastic to see.
Yeah. Mark, you want to add anything to that?
No, that's a really good point. I totally agree. I mean, the builder builds the house and then passes it off and the pest control has to clean mm-hmm. up the mess there. And so if those ends could be a little more joined to each other, it would be a lot easier on the back end instead of trying to, you know, give the homeowner a list of things that they need to be changing that they're not going to want to do. So why not, you know, build it in on the front end and we could really build the pests out. Yeah.
Great. All right. Well, that's all I had for you. But Mark and Carrie, I really appreciate the time and sharing with us kind of that historical perspective on the Formosan termites, as well as kind of updating our listeners on some of the newer initiatives that the board is doing and giving us an update on this year's swarm season, which by all accounts has been pretty active.
Sure. And if you want to, for more information, you can follow us on social media. We're at NOLA Mosquito on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We actually have a swarmometer that we've started here at the building where we put a sticky card up every night and see how many swarmed the night before. So I think last night there were 19. So it's we're getting a lot of them on the cards there. But you can follow along and see our daily report of how many swarmers we found the night before. So follow us for that and lots of other good content. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Mark, and thank you, Carrie, once again.
Oh, thank you so much for having us today.
Yeah, thank you.
And for all of our listeners, thank you for tuning into our podcast today, and have a great day.